tell this particular story, I have to tell you that within 6 months of my tour in Vietnam, my mind had deteriorated, and I didn't recognize how far I had gone down in deterioration of my mind by what I had witnessed, was witnessing, was experiencing. The things that a 19 and 20-year-old experiences in this country don't even compare with what you experience when you're in war. When I graduated high school, and I attended Aliquippa High School, when I graduated, I enrolled in college for the ministry. And it was during my first semester that I wasn't sure of my call. So I dropped out of college. I knew there was one thing I wanted to do with my life, and I wanted to be a Marine. I was assigned to the 3rd Marine Amphibious Force. I, along with other Marines, had been hand-selected to be a part of a special force unit in the Marine Corps that had been organized and designed specifically for Vietnam, and it was called the Combined Action Force. Wherever I was at, where I served, the locals were very happy to have us there. We were providing protection, and they knew while we were there, they could go out and they could live in peace. They could do their everyday routine and not have to worry about the Viet Cong. That's not saying that there weren't sympathizers. There were many sympathizers within the villages. That's one thing about Vietnam. You didn't know who the enemy was. Someone would be with you during the day, have their farming implements. They would be out farming. They would eat with you. And at night, they would put on their black pajamas and attack you. One particular day, Marines were bringing the mail out to us. They hit an explosive, and the Viet Cong got a hold of the mail. Within that week, someone with a loudspeaker began to call out each of our names, and they would say your name, and they would tell us we're going to die. You never know quite what the experience is going to be like until you go through it. I found out very quickly that my life was going to change dramatically, and no longer did I have the control on my life that I had up to that point. And so my mind was deteriorating, and oftentimes we would see people who were hungry. They would steal food off of us. They'd steal personal items from you when you weren't looking. Villagers would do that. And all of these things would work upon you. And I kept thinking in my mind, we're here to protect you. We're here to help you. And we're here to give you medical care. And we're doing all this for you. And then you turn around and you're stealing off of us. And all of this was playing on my mind. There was one day when we came back off a patrol, and it was 110, 115 degrees. And as I said, we carried 85 pounds at least on our back. Came back in, we were very tired and exhausted. We put all of our equipment down. We had our sea rations stacked up by a pile of rice that they would use the oxen to separate the grain from the stalks with. And then we bedded down in one of the hooches. And as we were laying there, there was a little Vietnamese boy. And I saw this little Vietnamese boy walking the oxen around on the stalks of rice. And as he was doing it, he would look down at our sea rations and then look in at us to see if we were sleeping or not. And I laid there with my eyes appearing to be closed, but I was watching him. My eyes were on him all the time. And I knew what he was going to do. And inside, I had built up a certain amount of anger over everything I've been experiencing and seeing. And then, not to get ahead of myself, but to recognize what was going on in the United States at that time as well. What I was hearing about, the division in this country and the terrible way that people were dishonoring the Vietnam veterans when they were coming back. All of these things were working on my mind. Well, this boy was taking the oxen around, and the one time when he went around, he grabbed the box of sea rations and he threw it underneath the rice. I jumped up, I went out and I grabbed this little boy and I took him to the oxen pen. And in that oxen pen, the dung was probably a couple feet high at least. And I put his head down in that dung, and I tried to kill him. I would have killed him at that point. My fellow Marines pulled me off, and I realized this isn't me. What has happened? This is not me. This is not who I am. I could never imagine myself being in a position where I would ever want to try to kill someone, especially a child. Well, I told him, I said, I have to leave for a while. And I walked out of the jungle, literally walked out of the jungle. I got onto Highway 1, hitched a ride with the Army, went to Tamkee, the village of Tamkee. My intent was to go to the Army NCO club and just forget about the war for a while and try to calm my mind down a little bit. And as I was walking through Tamkee, and I was walking on one of the back roads of Tamkee, I came upon an orphanage. And there was a sign there, and I was reading the sign, and as I was standing reading the sign, there was this little Vietnamese boy, about 12 years old, that just appeared from nowhere, about the same age as the boy that I just talked about. He said, would you like me to show you around the orphanage? And I said, sure. He took me around and he showed me where the Vietnamese orphans who had lost their parents because of the war were sleeping. Five hammocks high, they would sleep. Then he went and introduced me to his parents, and his father was the pastor, and his ministry was sponsored by the Christian Missionary Alliance. And so we sat and we talked for a while, and they didn't know my story. They didn't know what I just did in the jungle. They didn't know anything about the anger that I had accumulated in my life. But they told me their story and how they were Buddhists and how this missionary couple were killed by the NVA and how that affected the villagers and this particular family in such a way that they recognized that if these Americans would come over here and die for us, not even knowing who we were, that they had that kind of faith in their God, we wanted that too. And so they accepted Christ. After they gave me something to eat and I left and went back out into the jungle again, a changed person. They didn't know how they touched my life, how God touched my life. I had anger, I had hatred, they gave me love, they gave me care. I was a Marine there thinking I was there to protect and defend and to do all these things for these Vietnamese, and here it was turned around. Here they were my caretakers at that time. And so it broke me down. And it made me recognize that I needed to do what God wanted me to do now. This is where I needed to be. And I know you interview a lot of veterans from a lot of different backgrounds, from a lot of different wars. But I want to say that war is terrible. War is hell, as they say. It's horrible. But out of the darkest despair, out of the darkest moments of battle, there are great, fantastic, positive things that happen. And some of the greatest things happen in the worst of times in our lives. That's what happened to me. I am a pastor of a church today because God moved me and placed that family in my life. And it was a family that at the time were of a race that I was becoming very angry with because what I had witnessed. I was determined that before I left Vietnam, when I got home, people were going to hear the story. They were going to hear. Whether they wanted to hear it or not, they were going to hear. Unfortunately, many veterans, and especially in the Vietnam era, turned inward. They turned to drugs. They turned to alcohol. They became very depressed. Post-traumatic effects were very strong, and they didn't tell their stories. They kept it within themselves. And that's typical of really all veterans, I would say, for the most part. But I'm thankful for this moment, that we're able to tell our story and so other people can hear that if they're going through something in their life, whether it's a combat situation or if it's something else, that there's always hope.
How sweet the